Difficult days.
And we are live.
Okay, perfect. So today we are going to talk about traditions. So traditions are a real treasure. So we are going to share a little bit of our traditions with each other and maybe some recipes, maybe design new tradition. Yeah, we'll just see how the time works out.
By the
Yes.
way, I have some ice cream recipes for you,
Oh, nice.
which I will post
Okay.
after this meeting.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. I aim to please.
That's very nice. I saw some recipes. The one is to make chocolate brownies where you use apple and cacao powder and eggs.
Quelle surprise, eggs, yeah.
Yes, eggs. And then you mix it together in a blender, bake it in the oven, and you have chocolate brownies. Now, you don't have to add sugar and all kinds of things. So I'm definitely going to try that. And then there's a cheesecake recipe. I like cheesecake, where you use Greek yogurt and bananas, and I can't remember. There's another ingredient.
See, I don't actually, when I look at the list of ingredients, I sort of think, can you, why do I have a restricted Google Drive access to authorized devices? Computers. I have these questions, and we'll look at the ingredients of these recipes. I'm just wondering, can you get, how good are the supermarkets where you live? Do you get,
It depends what you are looking for, but you should be able to find it.
So canned chickpeas are a problem, but
I know where to get them.
30 rands a pop. Greek yogurt, is that easy to get? Okay.
Yes. At the supermarkets, there's different kinds as well.
Coconut milk.
Easy to get, yes, from Dis-Chem.
Okay. All right. Well, I will do that recipe bit for you. It's almost disappeared. Okay, I'm going to shut up because I'm not in charge tonight.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's your show. I'm going to be a good little boy and do as I'm told.
Okay. Okay. So I'm not going to share my screen. We'll keep it a secret. I just want to move you out of the way.
What am I in the way again?
Yes, but
No.
I kind of have a big strip on top and then I just make it a little bit short, smaller, but
You
now.
make, you're making me smaller. I know
Yes.
what, no wonder I feel so cramped. I think that was the reason why my day went so pear-shaped. You just made me smaller and smaller and smaller. It started yesterday when you said I was overthinking too much, and I just said, anyway.
It was
Okay.
too much. Now I can see you twice.
It's not a good idea. What have you been drinking?
Nothing.
Isma, you're very
Okay,
quiet. It
that's okay.
worries. That
Yes.
worries
Isma,
me.
are you okay? Oh, there we go.
Just very silent here. Isma, say something. Can you tell us of a tradition from your childhood?
I don't know if traditions are good in general because some I
Oh.
think are, but some aren't. For example, I'm not a good fan of religions, and I suppose that the religious traditions harm more people than help. For example, we go to the mass and the father said that we will eat a piece of Jesus Christ's body. Oh, the body of Jesus Christ has been eaten for more than 2,000 years and hasn't finished yet. It's a miracle, yeah? I think a little piece of different bread that it's a Jesus Christ body.
Okay.
And here people say, oh, are you married? Oh, I live with someone. No, my are you married at the church? No, you aren't married.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Get
But
it.
is there something that you do like maybe with family or with friends, like you get together once a month or once a week or to watch a movie or to talk about the week, something that happened during the week. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a traditional tradition. It can also be something that you started with friends or family.
I have two sisters, and all years my birthday, they will call me or sent me a message, oh, happy birthday, and I will do the same. Since 2 or 3 years ago, as they don't help me with my mother to look after my mother, I stopped saying happy birthday for them, and automatically she don't send me birthday as well because I think it's a hypocrisy because say to me happy birthday but don't treat my mother well. I think this kind of tradition it's a foolish.
For the record, publicly stated, I would like to announce that Isma's birthday is on the 29th of July.
Okay, that's good to know for the public record.
The public
At
record.
least you don't have to help me to look after my mom, no problem.
Okay.
If it's what it takes, Isma, then you know what we talked about on Monday. You can take me to the Parisian. Then we can find. Oh no, let's leave that one there. Okay.
Maybe that's a it's a new tradition. Maybe I would say for a short time, but I think it's a good tradition to go to a cafe and have a cappuccino and some a piece of cake or pipe. I think it's a good
Yeah.
tradition.
Yeah, to treat yourself and make make yourself feel good and just let yourself be spoiled for an hour, yeah, and have someone bring you a coffee and a cake or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what
I would say that till around 20 years ago, people didn't say, oh, are you travel? It doesn't matter if inside or abroad. And we know that media construct people mind. But nowadays, people, I think they travel to say that they have been to some interesting place or to post on media. Once I traveled with a friend, it was, I suppose, 8 or 9 days in a cruise on Caribbean. And I think it was in the middle. Oh, I'm so eager to go back home. I miss my home. I asked you, why do you travel? Don't you like travel? Oh, I like, but I'm so tired of traveling. I can go back home. Why? It's not obliged to travel. You can travel if you want. Yeah, but I think people, at least in Brazil, some people who can. Some of them travel just to say that, oh, I didn't stay my whole vacation at home, I traveled. I think it has became a new tradition as well.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So think a little bit back to your childhood or maybe to some younger years. So which traditions do you remember or love or maybe something that you want to create? Okay. So they don't have to be serious. They can be a little bit silly as well. And these are often the most treasured traditions.
I think all kinds of recreation I had, it was interesting. Today, children don't play anymore. It's like a similar rectangle, like a volleyball court, and one team against other, and you interpolate. Just one in the end of the rectangle, and other people stay in the side, and you throw the ball, and if you don't get the ball, you out. And if you get, then you turn the turn from the other team. It was very interesting because we call here in Portuguese something like ear. You are fired because if the ball hit you and you didn't get it, then you're fired. I played it a lot. And another recreation was to play. Please help me. It's like a glass little ball
Marbles,
that.
marbles.
Marbles, yes. I played it a lot, and there were some friends that they were like a recipient, maybe with 500 or maybe 1,000 of marbles. I had some, but not so many. I
I
think
had
very
a whole,
good. It's you had.
yes, I had a whole coffee tin full of marbles.
Okay, and of course, football. I played football a lot, and most of time I had a ball, and my colleagues invite, no, let's play football because I had the ball. Yeah, I wasn't a good player. I was very bad at playing it, but I had fun, much fun.
Yes. Okay. So Frank,
But
what about?
I.
Oh, sorry, Ismar. Yes.
But I had something in my childhood that I regret. I have killed so many birds with like a slingshot or even with some gun because I had a gun since I was 10. And when I was 8, 9, I shot with my father gun. And it was because I was raised on a farm. And it was common for us, but yeah, I regret to have killed so many birds.
Okay. Frank, what about you? Which traditions do you remember, or something that you love, or something that you want to create?
You know, it's really difficult because, as a child, I grew up in Adelaide, which at the time was a city of about 600, 700,000 people, but it was widely spread out. And I lived in a neighborhood which there weren't many kids. As an only child, I went to school. It was quite a distance away. So I spent a lot of time by myself. So there was a neighbor's kid. We used to play cricket a lot, but I wouldn't call it a tradition. It was just kids, you know, mucking about and trying to kill time. And we used to play cricket a lot. I wasn't very good at it. As a very young child, I had marbles. But I sort of keep coming back to, and I've said this on numerous occasions, coming back to our Christmases. Yeah, because that is tradition. But
Yes.
as you both know, because you both live in the Southern Hemisphere, Christmas for all of us as kids, was in the Southern Hemisphere, so it was summer.
Yes.
And so I don't want to repeat some of the stories that I've been saying, but as a kid, as a kid, Christmas is about presents. I mean, that's what it's all. That's what it's there for. That's why Christmas was invented. Never mind the religious side of things, but Christmas was invented so that kids can get presents. And as a child, I was very excited about what presents I'm going to get. But Christmas, what we did, it was a very German traditional Christmas. And we would eat dinner first, and then we would get changed into something nice. My father would wear a suit, and I would get on my best clothes. And we would then go to the Christmas tree would be decorated, a proper Christmas tree. And one of the things that my father insisted on was to hang these thin silver aluminium strips one by one.
Oh dear.
You said it very politely. Yeah. I mean, they're wafer thin. They're probably about, a millimeter, 2 millimeters wide. And it was such a laborious job. And it was hot outside. Yeah. But
Yes.
of course, Northern German Prussian tradition dictates this, you strict military discipline. Not that my father was in the military, but there was a lot of military in the family preceding him. And so we did that. And I had to polish the apples because to weigh the branches down, you would take fresh apples. I mean, this is like 38 degrees,
Yes.
heat. You would polish the apples. You'd make sure you don't destroy the little stem coming out. You have to have black cotton thread to hang the apples from the branches because the white thread would just be visible to everything. And proper candles, no electric lights, proper candles. And then the Christmas tree would be decorated in the afternoon. And then we would sit down for dinner at about 7 o'clock, and it's still light. It doesn't get dark until 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. And there's this kid who's not interested in all of this paraphernalia. He just wants to open up his presents.
Yes.
And the torture of waiting until 9:30, but it's not like, okay, it's dark, that's too. No, there was actually a procedure. So my father would light the Christmas tree, so all the candles would be there. And then we and I still have this bell today, actually. There would be a little brass bell, and he would ring it. And that would signal my mother and me that we were allowed to enter the living room, and then you spent about half an hour admiring this Christmas tree, and I
Yes.
could see all the presents, surrounded, and I'm thinking, yeah, ooh. And then there would be some Christmas carols being played on some my parents had these German Christmas carols, and of course the record covers all had snow
Yes.
and winter scenery, and it's like the complete contrast to what we were going through. And it's sort of eventually then I was told, you are now, Russian strictness, you are now allowed to open your presents. Nothing joyful about it. It was almost like a military command. Yeah, you go. Anyway, and then it was like you ripped the paper apart. No, you had to unknot the
Oh
string.
dear.
Yeah. tie it and put it nicely to one side, gent, and then you have to admire the paper, and then you sort of start taking it apart. I mean, there was none of this modern, as I know it now, in other situations. So you just rip everything apart. And, oh,
Yes.
wow. And you say, and then you say a few polite words because it was yet another pair of socks from somebody. And this was Christmas. And the irony of the story was that when we moved back to Germany, where it got dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, guess when we would open the Christmas presents? At 10 o'clock at night. So this tradition continued
Yes.
until I left home. And then I, in my first marriage, and now with Mary, it was my first wife is Irish, and Mary being English, and this whole show and this whole process moved from Christmas Eve, because for Germans, Christmas Eve is actually more important than Christmas Day. So we wouldn't open Christmas presents until Christmas Day, and in case of Mary's enormous family, it would take 2 days to open everything. So this whole thing would move over into Boxing Day. Which, do you have Boxing Day in South Africa? Yeah, you
Yes,
do.
we do.
And like Christmas Eve falls totally by the wayside, and it was difficult for me to adapt to that at first, because I thought, well, hang on, there's something missing. Because part of my German heritage and tradition was that Christmas Eve is most important evening. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was yeah. Not a child-friendly approach to all of this.
So we used to visit my grandparents. It was a couple of hours drive away for Christmas. So we would go for a couple of days, and we would also open presents on Christmas Eve. But then during December, we also have school holidays. So my sister and I would practice together to sing carols and to do a performance. So we a recital, yes.
Recite Christmas poems.
Then we would perform for them, and then we would also have dinner, and then after dinner, everyone will sit down on the grass, not even under the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is one of those fake trees that my grandmother put up on the 1st of December. So that stayed in the living room, and we sat outside because it is so hot, especially where my grandparents live. It's the temperatures are even higher than when we live. And then we would sit outside, and everyone would hand out gifts. So it would be me, my mom, my dad, and my sister, and then it would be my aunt and my uncle with my two cousins, other aunt and uncle with their two, with my other two cousins, and my grandparents. Sometimes there would be some other people who joined, but not always. So it's just the family, and we would share gifts and laugh and open presents and all kinds of things. But we started our own tradition, our own Christmas tradition, when my sister and I started working. So it's because of the places that we worked, and also her being married first, and I was engaged to someone else, and we couldn't always make it together on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. So we kind of divided the whole Christmas into different parts, different responsibilities. But then we would choose a day, any day in December, that all of us can be together on a weekend, on a Saturday. And then we would celebrate our Christmas on another day when we can all be together.
Which is part of the spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
For families to get together, and I suppose if other commitments interfere, then you make alternative arrangements.
Yes.
Did you this is now opening the floodgates. Did you celebrate, because we were talking about this, or I texted you this yesterday, I think. Did you celebrate Advent as a child, the
No.
four Advent Sundays with an Advent wreath and the candles, and you light a candle every Sunday before Christmas.
No. No.
Okay.
So even something like the Advent calendars only started here in South Africa about maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
Bef yes. Before that, I didn't know what it was.
Oh wow. Okay. What about because of the Afrikaans slash Dutch heritage, Saint Nicholas on the 5th or 6th of December?
No.
Okay. God, you poor person.
So we I can't say it too loud. I don't want my son to hear, but we do Elf on a Shelf. So my Instagram is actually flooded with the Elf on the Shelf pictures, but the elf comes on the 1st of December, and then he does all kinds of naughty things around the house until he leaves on Christmas Day.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yes, I have a
Keeps,
lot of fun.
I'm sure you do. It keeps you busy.
Yes, and to think of ideas. If I know December is coming and my son is talking about Elf on the Shelf, then I start making notes.
Okay, well, that'll be something to talk about closer to the time. So you didn't as a child, on the night of the 5th to the 6th, or on the night of the 4th to the 5th of December, put out a very, very highly polished shoe outside your bedroom door, and wake up next morning and either find a little something inside it, if you were a good girl, or if you were not a good girl, that you found either a bag of coal, or the shoe was empty.
No.
Yeah. Oh, you poor, poor person. So one of the traditions in our house, again, because I was an only child, I still am, every on the Advent Saturdays, the four Advent Saturdays before Christmas, I'd have to, I mean, I had to polish my shoes every day. It was part of the
Yes.
school uniform. But I had to put an extra rubbing into it on Saturday. And then I would put the shoe outside, and 99.9% of the time I would find something, nothing spectacular, not a Lego kit or a
Yes.
Meccano set or something, computer games that didn't exist or anything like that. It's something small, modest, a bag of cookies or Christmas baking. Now we're going here. I would find that in my shoe. And if my mother had forgotten it for some reason, it was sort of, why? What have I done? I've been a good boy here.
Yes.
But later she confided to me and said, well, actually, I did forget it a few times,
Well, I've forgotten to move the elf also. There was one, I woke up, I think it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I realized I didn't do anything with this elf, but that was the fastest that I ran. I was still half asleep just to figure out what am I going to do with this elf before Aiden wakes up, because if he knows it's Elf on the Shelf, he wakes up early every single day. Now I have to do this before he wakes up. And the worst part is it's school holidays. He can sleep until 9 or 10, but he doesn't. He wakes up early, like 7 o'clock early.
Oh dear. Okay. Well,
Does happen.
we'll put this into the Fruit Loop rescue plan, starting the 5th December 1st. Which is a Monday.
Yes.
We have to get the community to support you to make sure that you are not stressed too much.
Yes. Ismar, what can you remember about your Christmases?
As I told you, I was raised on a farm, and my family had a rural culture, and we didn't have electric power. Then
Okay.
I don't know if it was the reason. I'm just trying to guess. And we didn't celebrate Christmas Eve, but we
Okay.
had a celebration during lunch on Christmas Day. It was very interesting because most of time my dad killed a cow or some other animal, and we had some relatives at home, and some that lived in the city. They would go to our farm. It was nice. And I remember that my father liked wine a lot. And sometimes I remember my father got drunk, yeah.
Drunk,
When
yeah.
we drink, yeah. I remember sometimes this part was good. But it was a tradition for us who lived in a farm to receive a gift for Christmas. Only when we moved to a city to study, my parents started to give us some gifts. Then we didn't have a Christmas decoration in the farm. We didn't have.
What
But
about
then, it
sorry,
was nice. It was nice.
Anita.
Okay. So when you moved to the city, did you have Christmas decorations, but not on the farm?
Yes. In the city, when we moved, my family started organizing it. Yeah, but I suppose because my oldest sister liked it. I suppose it was because of her. But for me, I didn't mind about it.
Okay. Okay. Frank, what did you want to ask?
I was going to move this to, if I may,
Go ahead.
other high days in the year. So, I'm sort of preempting something here a little bit. I know that in South Africa you have Heritage Day,
Yes.
that is. Seems to be quite a significant day in the South African calendar. I don't want to go into the religious. I want to don't want to go into the religious days like Easter and all the other high days in the Christian calendar. But what about national celebrations, typical for South Africa and typical for Brazil? What do you celebrate, and how does the country traditionally celebrate? I mean, Isma, we around the world, I don't know, maybe South Africa as well, we have this image that during Mardi Gras, Brazil is just one gigantic carnival
Party.
party, and 220 million people do nothing but get dressed in a lavish costumes, some more revealing than others, and go dancing sambas down this major boulevards of Brazil, and the minor boulevards and the minor streets, and that, this is basically what happens. So can you maybe elaborate on that a bit? You have to unmute yourself.
When we think about Carnival in Brazil, do you think that most of us like and dance Carnival, or maybe middle 50-50, or maybe a small part? What do you think about it?
Well, I know that you're so 220 million minus one, you.
Most people that I know, they don't like carnival. I think it's a wrong idea that when people outside think that all Brazilians like carnival, because it's something that you see on TV or some other media, but it's not true. For example, I suppose the last time, not that I went to observe on the street, but I went to a club to dance carnival. It was around 4 years ago.
That's only yesterday.
Anyone, my sister, my cousin, anyone of them don't go to carnival. It's a wrong idea.
But what do you celebrate on this day?
If you work for government, you don't work on Monday, Tuesday, and you work just on Wednesday after lunch. Then it's a good opportunity to travel if you can, but the roads are very crowded. Me, for example, I don't do that because I know that I have a mess on the roads. Many accidents, I don't travel. Even if I can, if I have money, I don't travel carnival. Most people like to stay at home, resting. Many people watch on TV. Many people like to watch on TV. It's not my case. Only on TV, I don't watch. Because there are some, I would say, Brazilian tradition that make people alienated, and carnival is one of that. Then I don't like carnival.
Okay.
I think that most of us used to rest, to relax. But National Day and the Municipal Day, when I was a kid, I liked it a lot because on the Independence Day, we use a little piece of yellow and green tissue on our school uniform. Today, people don't use anymore, and we have to go to the parade. I like it, and school had some musical bands. It was very interesting. I like it a lot.
So we have 2 days. The one is Heritage Day. That's actually a new holiday, or recent, not that new, more recent, but it was created by President Nelson Mandela to celebrate the Rainbow Nation. So the Rainbow Nation, meaning all the different people and ethnic groups living in South Africa. And for Heritage Day, it's a celebration for everyone to basically come together. And everyone wears traditional clothing. So for me, our traditional clothes is very old-fashioned. So it has been modernized a little bit. So maybe we would wear jeans and a khaki shirt, and some leather shoes. Or what I did when I was working at the pharmacy, I used to wear whatever they wore. So like a Zulu outfit or a Sotho outfit, because it's so colorful and so bright. And it's not even expensive. One of the ladies, I told Frank this some time ago, she made me a skirt, and for the first one, and or that was the second one actually. The first one I wore my jeans and my khaki shirt, and the second year she made me a skirt, and I just had to buy a plain blue t-shirt to match with the skirt. And then one of the other ladies went out of her way. She went into Joburg to someone who makes the beads, and she bought me a string of beads. I still have it. And she gave it to me as a gift. so that I can wear it with my heritage day outfit. I think I have earrings too, now that I think of it. Also beads, bead earrings. So she bought both somewhere in Joburg. And then the second year, I used the same beads, but I bought a white t-shirt and then I bought a skirt at one of the clothing stores. Every year they sell like traditional outfits. When it comes to September, they start bringing out these traditional outfits in different colors, different shapes, different sizes. You can buy pants if you don't want to wear a skirt. So there's different options too. But then different colors also represent the different tribes, like Xhosa would wear white, and the Sotho is usually blue and white. So different ethnic groups have different colors, even though it's full of patterns and other colors as well. There's like a main color that stands out for each of them. And then we have a barbecue. We braai. So we used to do this in the pharmacy as well. So we would organize maybe a month before to say that everyone clubs in, you need to give 30 rand or 50 rand. That's about
And
€2.
yeah,
Yeah.
2 euros 50.
Yes. And then we would prepare, or not me, but some of the black ladies, they would prepare side dishes like salads and maize meal porridge. That's also a traditional meal, with tomato and onion sauce, and they cook amazing food. And then the men who worked in the pharmacy, they would have the barbecue. They would make sure that everyone gets a piece of meat with these side dishes, and you will get a whole plate of food that you paid a small amount of money for. So someone was in charge to organize the meat, someone was in charge to organize the side dishes. They made sure that everything was done and ready for this day. So that was a lot of fun. But now for Heritage Day, it depends which day it is. If it falls onto a day that we don't work, then we will have a barbecue. But if it falls into like a day during the week, we just carry on working. So holidays kind of change since we started working from home.
So, is Heritage Day a fixed day in the calendar?
Yes,
So,
it's an official public holiday.
okay, so a little bit like, so you're the same situation as I was on Monday. It was the French National Day here, Bastille Day.
Yes.
I was working because I have clients outside of France, so you carry on working.
Yes.
So that was the first day. What was the other day?
The other day is now it's called Day of Reconciliation, but years ago it was known as Geloftedag, so it only had the Afrikaans name. So it was basically before the war of some kind happened on the 16th of December. There's also a monument in Pretoria. It's called the Voortrekker Monument. It also doesn't have an English name. But on the 16th of December, they kind of made a promise to God to protect the land or to protect South Africa. And now, every 16th of December, people go to this monument in Pretoria and they would walk through the monument. I've been there once when I was very, very small. So I can still remember what it looks like. But I haven't been there recently. And then there's whole groups of people who come together and pray together on this day.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
So, we have Aishat joining us from If I remember this correctly, Abuja in Nigeria. Am I correct, Aishat?
Yes, you're
Oh,
correct. Good evening. I don't know the time in your place, but
well,
currently here, evening, yeah. So good evening, everybody. Good evening.
okay. This is actually Yanita's show, but
That's okay.
I'm going to just destroy the last remnants of it. So I just would like to quickly introduce Aishat to everybody, and everybody to Aishat. None of us have met Aishat before, including me. I reached out to Aishat on LinkedIn a few days ago in Abuja in Nigeria. The young lady is Janita. She is based in Johannesburg, South Africa. She's
Good
actually
evening.
the host of tonight's meeting. And the young man sitting in front of the temples in Cambodia, the name eludes me at the moment, is Isma, who is joining us from Campo Grande in Western Brazil.
Nice to meet you.
And I am my name is Frank, and I'm based in northeastern France, where in the middle of summer I'm still wearing a rugby shirt. Aishat, we're talking about traditions and things like that. But just for the sake of it, we've actually sort of I don't know if we're going to continue. We're actually sort of reaching the end of our meeting. But would you like to say a few words about yourself and
Yeah, thank you.
tie that in with any traditions that you are experiencing or have experienced in Nigeria?
Good evening. Okay, so thank you for giving me the honor to speak, really. Okay, so my name is Haishat. I'm a nurse midwife. Oh yeah, I've been practicing for the past 7 years now. Okay, so I don't really know what this is all about, but I believe it's kind of like form of storytelling because I've come across a lot of women and I carry a lot of stories about what women go through, you know, in their lives, pregnancy, their births, and you know, the way they are just left unsupported. So that is what I think that is my passion. That is what created the passion I have for, you know, for posting on LinkedIn. I'm a storyteller, actually, storyteller about midwifery. And that was where I think I got to meet Frank. Yeah. So
Yes,
yeah.
that was the key word, storyteller. Yeah, that was the key word because I know nothing about midwifery. So that's why I sort of invited you to maybe join us, and maybe Janita can explain a little bit what it is we do, since I'm actually not doing anything.
So I should we focus on helping people across the globe to let's say improve communication and also improve in English. But we also like to talk about things that we've experienced and like today's topic is to talk about the traditions. So we shared different traditions from the different countries, what Frank had as a child when he grew up and how we celebrated Christmas and Isma's Christmas. So we tried to do this in a conversational based, natural way, on how to improve your English.
There it is, short and sweet.
Short and sweet. That's the serious part of it, but we also have a lot of fun with different challenges and different questions. But in the end, it all comes down to helping you improve in your communication.
So basically, for people whose first language is not English, and I think
Yes.
Aishat in Nigeria, you probably speak very good English, as everybody else does in this circle here. But it is probably not your first language; it's
Okay.
probably your second language. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Janita, do you want to throw Aishat a question, or do you want? First of all, we're reaching the top of the hour. And Janita, do you want to continue, or do you want to call it a day?
I think maybe we should do one more question. I'm
Okay.
just trying to find one. Okay. I saw a question earlier, but now I missed it somewhere. Okay. So the question is, if your pet started its own tradition, what would it involve? Okay, so it doesn't have to be a pet. It can also be yourself, but if your pet started its own tradition, what would it be? Okay, any tradition. I think Frank knew I was going to choose something silly.
Okay, this is what we call in our community, which Janita and I co-run together, which is what we call a Fruit Loop question.
Yes.
The question may sound silly on the surface, but upon
Yes.
reflection, it actually reveals quite a lot. And so the question might jolt you and say, what kind of question is that? How can a pet start a tradition? And I have to confess that Janita and I sort of bounced a few pictures back and forth about our pets, our respective pets starting traditions. So maybe Aishat, you want to think about that? You want to think about an answer, or do you have something? You're laughing.
You're passing that
You're laughing, which is already a good sign. Oh, we throw we are brutal here, Aishat. We throw you into the deep end. I mean, we are absolutely merciless, yeah.
the spot.
So maybe we start with tiny steps. Do you have any pets?
No, I don't have. I once had a cat before, but before I got married, yeah. So currently now I don't have a pet, but I'm looking forward to having one in the future, maybe.
Okay. Would you like one of our four cats? We have four cats, my wife and I. And I
You
think,
can't give them away.
and
I would love to
I
have one.
think I think the youngest addition to the family is up for adoption. I will give you a little hint. It's a black cat. It's about 1.5 years old. No, yeah, 1.5 years old. And my wife always says, what a little pest. He's a little bit wild. He's a little bit of street cat. He has weak, I think he's a bit of a mobster myself. Does his own thing. Very traditional in that. Yeah. So if you're looking for a pet, Aishat, I'm sure we can make arrangements for Uno to be
Is that the reason why you are giving him up for adoption? Because he's the wild
No, he's a bit disruptive. Yes, he's a bit disruptive, and he gives the other three cats a bit of run for their money. But no, I'm just joking. He's not going to be given
cat.
away at all. Yeah, I will fight. I will defend his honor. Yeah.
Yes.
So Back to the question, if you have a pet, what tradition could it start? Isma's shocked.
Sorry, in fact, I didn't understand that question.
Okay. So if you ha do you have a pet? Like, do you have a cat or a dog or a parrot or a goldfish? Nothing.
I'm my own pet.
Okay.
Your own pet. Oh, well, there you go. There you go. You've just walked into it, Isma.
Okay, so if you're your own pet, what tradition would you start? Like taking afternoon naps, eating as much as you like, what kind of tradition would you like to start?
To give me food all times that I want or I need it.
Endless
And to
supply of
sleep,
food.
and to sleep every moment I'm sleepy. Maybe I would be similar a cat, yeah,
I
very
think so.
very pet man.
Would
Okay.
you bring home a friend in the form of a mouse or a bird or something, to
Lizard.
or a lizard or a snake to yourself?
Many years ago, I had a little fish, but every time I went to travel, I had to ask a friend to take care of it. Then, when he died, I didn't want it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
But I had many when I was a kid. I had cats and dogs, many, many of them.
What were they known for, the cats and the dogs, as a, did they have any particular characteristics or habits? We're sort of preparing Aisha here.
Many of them were street and street dog and cats, but when I lived on a farm, that was interesting to have a dog. My
Wonderful.
father used to take our dog to hunt. And I remember one of them was killed by any animal, but I don't know the name in English. The animal cut his throat and he died.
Oh,
Yeah.
brutal.
I remember as it was today. I was maybe 7.
Okay.
What kind of animal was it?
Oh.
You can describe it. You can describe it. I can try to guess.
Four legs.
I suppose it was a it anteater, I suppose. I'm not sure.
Anteater. As a
Yeah.
pet.
No,
And that
the
killed the dog.
anteater attacked the dog
Oh dear.
because
Okay.
anteater has a kind of very
Big
long
claws.
and very strong nails. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just thinking, Yanita, your pet spider, your tarantula,
Yes.
what tradition would it start?
Well, at the moment, she's just sitting on the heater all the time. She doesn't move. She eats when she's hungry. She drinks water when she's thirsty, but she sits against the heater all the time. She doesn't move a lot.
What a life.
Yes, she's never cold, she's never hungry, she's never thirsty, she's left alone.
And she doesn't do anything, yeah.
No, she doesn't have to work, she doesn't have to buy food, she doesn't have to pay electricity to keep the heater on. She's a free loafer.
She has a good life, yeah.
She has a good life, yes.
Okay. Aishat, so you do not have any pets.
Yeah, I don't, but I have an history with, like I said, I have a pet before, but like that's a cat. It went astray, actually. You know, something I noticed about the pets here in Nigeria, you know, we don't really leave them like in a compound for them to stay. You understand? They go, they come, they go, they come. Do you understand? So I think when it gets to a particular stage where maybe they are willing to meet a partner, so they tend to follow the partner away, they stray away. So that was what exactly that was what happened with my cat. I don't know whether you understood what I said.
Yes, yeah. They roam free. They walk around freely, and then if they find a friend, they follow the friend.
They follow the friends, yeah. At least they won't come back. So after all the attachments, they still stray away. So it's like heartbreaking. They end up breaking your heart.
Yes.
Aishat, I'm really going to make myself unpopular now. If you were, if somebody in your family were to come and on the idea to buy a chicken as a pet, you're not laughing very much, Anita. I'm sorry.
Wow, I
I'm
love
laughing,
chickens.
Simon.
I
Where
love chickens.
you'd love
When
chickens.
my dad was I love chickens. I grew up with cages of chickens in our house. My dad was a chicken rearer. He had almost thousands of them.
Wow.
Yes,
Okay.
he had thousands of them. So we when I grew up with chickens. So I don't. So I love chickens. So I don't know. You know, here we don't really classify chicken as pets. Okay, yeah, so if it is chicken, yes, I have chickens. I love chickens. I'm a chicken rearer.
I
the reason why Frank asked this question is because my husband and my son showed up with a chicken as a pet. Not
well,
yes. So
okay.
you just say that you don't classify a chicken as a pet. Well, we have a pet chicken, and she doesn't like me, by the way.
Doesn't like you.
Okay, yeah.
What we have been glorifying nuggets,
She doesn't like me.
and now in the sort of last minutes of this meeting, you casually drop the clanger that nuggets does not. I mean, this is news. This is.
And she doesn't like me very much because I fed her and gave her water today and she picked me three times.
Oh, she was saying thank you.
No, she's not. She was angry.
Aishat, maybe there is some chicken psychology that you can transport over to Yanita, before we have absolute chaos. I mean,
If you are not going after their babies.
No, she doesn't have babies. No, she's alone. She
Really?
doesn't have babies. I was just giving her food and water, and then she kind of attacked me.
Oh my God.
She tried to kick me first, and she couldn't kick me, but then she pecked me three times.
Oh. Wanted to get more familiar with you, really, maybe.
My son can pick her up. My son can carry her around. If she hears my husband, she runs to any spot that's close to him. Even the dogs. She likes the dogs, but she doesn't like me.
Oh my God.
I think
Oh.
she might have imprinted on my son and my husband. And now she sees me as a threat.
Female rivalry Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Oh, this is going to be so much fun.
At least the spider likes me.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. Janita, do you want to have the last word?
Do you want to tell us about your pets having their own traditions before we have the last word?
What, our four cats?
Yes.
I don't actually think if it's a, we would interpret it as a tradition, but cats are very territorial.
Yes.
And our number one cat, Sable, who moved in 2014, so he's now 11 years old, and he was this tiny ball of fluff, and now he's an older statesman. He's very possessive, especially in winter. He's very possessive of his chair, and he owns this chair. And Uno, the mobster, the pest, is challenging. So you've got 2 years versus 14 years. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not always pretty. And then we have number three cat, sorry, number two cat, Tortue, also the chief nap officer. And she just does what she wants. She will go away for days on end. And then number three cat, Friday, very sort of clingy and doesn't want to go anywhere. But it is all about territory. And the interest, you can learn a lot from cats. And the interesting thing is that there seems to be a truce amongst the four of them that when they are inside our house, they have their spaces and they try and respect it as much as possible, as naturally as they can. But basically, they're relatively harmonious. The
Yes.
emphasis being on relative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once they go out, and we live in the country, so there's not many people around, and there's lots of space, etc., etc. And then it becomes really bad sometimes, yeah, because there's territory, there's freedom, and my wife and I are not there as the policeman to ensure that law and order is maintained. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you've seen this. We go for a walk, and sometimes the cats accompany us. And then, sort of shepherding them or herding them into the house is difficult. But the real problem is getting out of the house. Because if we want to go for a walk somewhere, it's almost like escaping from prison. The cats are staked out in the courtyard somewhere. To say it in a, I'm going to pay some cheese tax now. To say it in a cheesy fashion, they smell a rat. And that is that if we go out, they want to accompany us. And we have to make enormous security arrangements to try and steal out of the house without them knowing it. And we would think the coast is clear. We walk out and there's someone sitting right in front. We hadn't seen them before. All of a sudden, it just materializes right in front. Are you going out? May we come with you? Yeah. And sometimes it's, you laugh at it in hindsight, but
Yes.
there are times when I've really lost my temper because I needed to go out. I needed to go for a long walk. I wanted to go for a long walk, but there is some four-legged feline animal hindering me from doing this. And it's not funny. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's become a bit of a tradition that our house is a bit like Fort Knox or a high security prison. We have four very effective prison guards. And sometimes even the bribe of a stack does not dispel them from exercising their democratic right in hindering us on going on our exercise. So maybe that's one of the traditions that they have unwittingly developed. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So that reminds me of the dogs. I send you the two pictures with today. The one, the brown dog, he's the older one. I've had him for about 10 years. I adopted him from another lady. She moved away and she couldn't take him with her. And he was 4 months old at the time. And he's like my shadow. And then the other one that was sitting on my lap while I was busy working,
Working.
he is 3 years old now. Or two or 3 years old. And what he does, so the old one, the brown one, would climb underneath the blankets and he would sleep next to me. But then in the mornings, if the white one wakes up, he would start jumping on the bed. And then the brown one would start growling. So every time the white one jumps on the bed, the brown one would go, And this morning, the white dog attacked my feet because he thought it was the brown dog lying underneath the blanket, but it was actually my feet. So the brown dog was lying next to my leg, but so close to my leg that the white dog couldn't feel him as he jumped on the bed. So he just attacked my feet.
Sorry, see, I were not too injured.
Sorry, Aishat?
I said, I hope you were not injured.
No, not. No, he was just playing. He was just trying to make the brown dog angry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but I didn't get hurt.
You've had quite a traumatic day. I mean, apart from some work issues that have been bouncing back and forth between the two of us, but you've been, your dog was mistaking your feet for his
Other
stepbrother,
dog.
and you were attacked by a chicken.
Chicken attacked me.
I mean, is everything all right in Johannesburg? I mean,
Yes, it's okay.
should.
The weather is nice.
We don't want, no, I was, we don't want to go there because it's the middle of summer here and it's warmer where you are than it is here. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not
Yes.
sure that I don't want to talk about the weather with Aisha because I know it's going to be very warm where she is. It'll just depress. Yeah. It'll
Yeah.
depress us. Yeah. Anyway,
Everything's okay. I made it
everything's
through
okay.
the
Well, thank God for that. I mean, we need you. We need you, and we cannot afford you to have you attacked by pets.
Yes, unfortunately, those things happen. But the white dog is going to attack the brown dog again tomorrow and maybe mistake me again. And he doesn't, he's just doing it in a playful way. He would just jump with his front legs so the other one can make a noise so he can sniff him out.
This is called fun, yes.
Fun. Fun. This morning, I was just laughing actually this morning, and then the moment that he had that he found my feet and he thought my feet was the other dog, I just laughed because I thought, shame. He's not very smart. But he's smart in other things, but not with that. Okay. So for the final word, we shared some traditions and some very nice pet stories, even if it's about the chicken attacking me.
Yes, that was
But
particularly nice. I really enjoyed that.
and the dog attacking me too.
Well, that wasn't half as interesting. The chicken attacking was far more interesting.
They are out for you.
The worst part is I gave her food and I gave her water and then she attacked me.
That's just such a totally and utterly ungrateful, you know.
Yes, I agree. And I make sure she stays warm every night.
Ungrateful chicken.
Anyways, I'll be fine. She'll be fine. She won't be chicken dinner.
Yet.
We still have to see if she will lay an egg or two. Okay. So, no, that's okay, Ismar. We are finished now. So, thank you very much for joining. Enjoy your evening, and then we'll see you again next time.
Okay, thank you.
Take care,
Bye. Thank
Isma.
you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And okay.
What's wrong? Are you still stuck on
No,
the
I've moved on from that.
Okay.
No, I'm just very conscious of the time that of you,
Yes.
but I also I've got
Okay.
Aishat here. I've got Aishat here. So Aishat, so basically got like Anita explained, she and I run this global community. It is about not learning English, but expressing yourself in English, living in English.
Yes.
And we do this on a global scale. It is still very small. And sometimes we invite people to join us, or we have these events where people can tell in a very relaxed environment, in a very relaxed fashion, tell stories, their experiences, exchange ideas, exchange knowledge, things like that. And in this sort of manner, we then help people improve their English communication skills, help them articulate themselves more in English. And the reason that I reached out to you on LinkedIn is, first of all, your very effective posting, which I have to compliment you on. The posts that you did, or that you posted were attention grabbing. Secondly, your professional side of things that attracted that it not attracted me, that interested me, because it's I think it's a topic that is somewhere between taboo and underrepresented. And thirdly, the key word, storytelling. Yeah. And those were the three things that attracted me, and I thought, okay, we somehow have to become, we have to get in contact and see if we can start talking with each other. Hence the invitation to you. Yanita and I also do a podcast every Fridays at 10 o'clock South African's time and European time at the moment. I think you're an hour earlier. It's only 9 o'clock where you are now, isn't it? What 8 o'clock is it? Aishat in Nigeria, it's 8:30.
Yeah, currently in Nigeria is 8:30 now.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe at some point, if you want to join Yanita and I and share your story a little bit and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it and why you do it, et cetera, that is something certainly we could be looking at.
Okay,
So
that's
think.
totally fine. I'll be that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I
Yeah,
think.
thank you for the offer. I said that's totally fine. That I'll be looking forward to it. Thank you for the honor.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Okay. All right, Janita, let's wrap this up, and then we call it a day.
Yes. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. So, Aishat, thank you very much for joining us. That was a
Thank
very nice
you.
surprise. Yes,
Thank you for
thank
the warm welcome.
It's my pleasure. Okay. Frank, you as well. Thank you for joining and
Culminating.
answering and laughing and yes.
I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay. All
No,
right.
that was good. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care,
Enjoy the evening.
everybody.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.